Remembering the Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel. Chapter 2, The Big Bang Never Happened. Leolam, heaven folding, unfolding, enwrapped in birthing forgetfulness. Descending to the rich and green canvas from which we pray. The arrow of time is a ray we measure in terms of distance. It is the human being who believes he alone occupies the zero point. We now know that the universe is the mathematical sum of the consciousness of all the sentient beings in it. Whether these beings are awake, asleep, conscious, unconscious, loving, or fearful, they are affecting the average consciousness of the universe. Now, it can be said that the larger the population, the more stable the average value is. That may be the case with a population made of individual samples that never change in value, but sentient beings change all the time, sometimes through infinitesimal stimuli, and sometimes through major ascension experiences. They oscillate. They vacillate. They are social beings who tend to coagulate into small groups around tribal campfires chanting similar ideas. When the range of ideas inside a group gets too large, or when they become too dissimilar, then new groups form. Thus, the average consciousness of the universe is shifting through the average of the averages. Sometimes only a few units, and sometimes, especially after a major event, such as a revival or a mass awakening or a war. The Big Bang is most widely accepted these days as the method by which the universe came into being. All the matter in the universe was packed into one singularity, which is theorized to have formed through the collapse of everything in the universe into one spot. Sort of like a giant inhale, the universe drew all energy and matter into a single one-dimensional dot. Of course, conservation of momentum would demand that the large diameter universe, rotating at a very slow rate, would spin faster and faster as it collapsed, like an ice skater drawing her arms in as she spins. This would mean that the universe would be spinning at its maximum speed possible, given its mass, which for all intents and purposes is finite. The singularity would be a possibility only. That is to say, locating the singularity and defining its speed would obey a Heisenberg uncertainty. This is a probability of its existence rather than a pure center of the massive black hole universe. Spinning would change its shape by way of the uncertainty, which would result in a universe that looks a little like a giant donut. The probability itself would create an opportunity for a Higgs event, acting a little like Velcro. The uniformity of energy throughout the black hole would be highly improbable. Somewhere, a snag occurred. Then, boom, or rather, bang. The universe was born as the ice skater spun so fast that she exploded on global television, and within microseconds, energy was collapsing into matter we see as stars and galaxies and planets. This is the perspective of human scientists. Humanism is the basis for these assumptions. Picture a measuring cup in a sink under a dripping faucet. It would be easy to count the number of drops per minute, measure the water in the measuring cup, and then to predict the amount of time the cup had been sitting under the faucet, right? After all, the conditions that were working to fill the cup were stable. Therefore, it is reasonable to make this judgment. That's humanism. The way things are is the way they have always been, so we can extrapolate back to the beginning or to the future to make assumptions. wrong. You see, in reality, someone may have placed the measuring cup in the sink, turned on the faucet for a few seconds, shut it off, and left it dripping just a few moments before you entered the kitchen. The cup has only been sitting there for less than a minute. This is catastrophism. Human consciousness is like the hand on the faucet, making catastrophic changes to the universe. But according to modern science, Earth is once again the center of the universe. Or was that the church that made that claim? Oh well, I guess there's not much difference, is there? I would like to propose a different analysis. Consider the photon. When an electron, associated with a shell of energy around an atom or a molecule, falls from a higher energy state to a lower energy state, a photon of very specific frequency is emitted. This spectrum is so precise that we can determine the exact identity of the atom or molecular bond, single, double, or triple, and between which two atoms, by plotting it against time. Most stars generate spectra in the oxygen, carbon, or nitrogen species. However, when one looks into the night sky and considers for only a moment the distance between the star and the detector, in our case the human eye, an amazing realization comes forth. Arcturus is 36.7 light years from Earth and is nearly the same size as our Sun. This means that its light travels as fast as it can for nearly 40 years to reach your eye at night. Well, that is from the human perspective. From the perspective of the photon itself, it left the electron shell of its birth and instantly arrived at your eye. There is no path 40 light years long, weaving through gravitational fields and dodging particles throughout space to get to your eye, not from the perspective of the photon. Impossible, you say? Ha ha, but let's look at the math one more time. Subtitle, just a little more math. E is equal to mc squared. Really? Energy is equal to mass times the speed of light squared. Well, what is the speed of light? Well, it's c. C is equal to 300,000 kilometers per second. Well, wait a minute. Let's express that whole equation while explaining all the terms. E is equal to m times 300,000 kilometers per second squared. Now, we can consider all the values in this famous equation. Remember, we are the photon, and we are traveling at the speed of light. Time slows down as we approach the speed of light, which means that mass becomes very close to infinite. Now, we physicists do not like the result of infinity. Well, look at it another way. Time becomes zero, or at least very, very, very small. What did I say? Time becomes nearly zero? Well, put another way, everything in the entire universe, all the stars, planets, galaxies, clusters, and superclusters, is located in the same spot. It's all local. It's a singularity. It's all now. Since energy cannot be created nor destroyed, it appears that mass and energy have to play the mathematical roles. For instance, energy is equal to mass times, and let's say 0.000001, which means that either energy must approach zero or mass must approach infinity as the speed of light is reached. I am not, however, talking about relativity from inside the universe. I'm talking about relativity from outside the universe, which is where you are from anyway. In case the impact of this realization didn't sink in the first time, this is exactly what we would see from outside our own universe. You see, the Hamiltonian of the universe is the potential energy plus the kinetic energy, which equals zero. You don't have to do the math. We're talking about looking at the universe from outside the universe. That means we hypothetically step outside relativity, where everything in the universe can be explained in terms of other things inside the universe. Time is really distance at the speed of light, and we just proved that distance equals zero for the photon. Since the set of energy in the universe is fixed, there cannot be an infinite resolution. If we can consider the universe from outside the universe, which mathematicians do all the time, and we just did it right there, then we can observe the entire thing at once. Everything in the universe is now. Even if there was a now in the universe relative to everything else, we would not be able to calculate how fast it was going. Merely running the thought experiment of being the photon gives us access to all distance, which is all time, which is all local. This is consistent with the ancient scriptures as well. God is omnipresent, seeing past, present, and future all at once. It seems the only challenge here is speeding yourself up to match the speed of the photon. Aha, we can do that. Empirically, we have seen thought move many times the speed of light, so speeding our consciousness up to the speed of light should be no more difficult than jogging around the park. That's easy for an awakened being. It is quickly being confirmed by the physics community that consciousness is intricately involved in the creation of the universe. Isn't the sentience of humans and other beings driving the very observations that create the universe? Every single sentient being has its own reality. Currently, on the Earth, there are about 7 billion sentient beings, each with its own reality. Each reality is unique. The universe is the mathematical average of all these realities. If you have a country full of 300 million people, the true reality of that country would be the average desire of every person in that country. Even communities and households are this way. If you boot out the bad people, the whole place becomes a nicer place to live. If you allow the bad people to gain leadership, the whole thing ends up in a handbasket. The average consciousness of the universe is the collective reality most of us perceive, multiplied by our own reality. Two people can live in a small town. One thinks he is in hell. The other thinks he is in heaven. They are both right. Once they multiply the presence of the town by their own reality, the population of Earth is so large that the average reality is going to be statistically very stable. It isn't going to shift in value very much, unless conditions independent of the individuals in the population change. For instance, adding the internet to the population allows people to meet, talk, love, and even solve problems. This one condition also provides unlimited knowledge to anyone who wants it. Knowledge empowers the individual. But when it is given to at least a critical amount of the population, the average awareness changes significantly. In fact, a population can actually evolve with this kind of empowerment. Religions, governments, creeds, and prejudices will change. The set of beings on the planet will change. If you add all the potential energy of the universe to the kinetic energy of the universe, the result is zero. The result is now. The result is a singularity. This means that the Big Bang never happened. The universe is still a singularity. Time has been created by sentient beings like humans to allow it to exist as space. More simply put, you are the creators. You are sentient and are currently human in mortal form, or immortal form for some of you. You never die, you know. Your DNA is resonating with the energy of your environment. The environment in which the genes of the human body exists includes the consciousness of the being, the beings around the being, and the planet upon which it lives. The matter that makes up your body came from the planet. This one physical fact may entangle you with every other being on this planet, in fact, with every element in the vicinity of the last supernova in this neighborhood. This is the creation event that was engineered by the beings who live in this universe, namely, you. You did it. The universe exists only because you are in it. If you leave, the entire universe would collapse as we know it. It is the power of your consciousness that allows it to exist in space and time. Neither of these two aspects even exists at the speed of light. The question is, why did you do it? Why did you slow down time so that the universe could exist? The reason is so simple. You did it so that you could drop out of the void of singularity to behold the love of one another. You did it to savor the taste of chocolate. You did it so that you could listen to music and watch children play and wind blowing across the fields. You did it to watch snow falling and feel the rain on your face. Knowing everything at once is not heaven. The experience of life, struggle, being in love, creating life in one's own image, and even dying a mortal death is the purpose of your existence. And you exist millions of times. There is no such thing as existed or yet to exist. This is only a perspective of yours. It all exists. It all happens. All of it. It is all possible. It is a potential of all potentialities, and the potential of it is only dependent on your ability to manifest its existence. That ability is empowered to the extent that you can remember the future and your past, which is the present. You are the only variable in the equation that you can control. So do it on purpose, and by all means remember who you are, or were. Your birth here caused you to have a few years where your brain could not recall those experiences from your mortal lives you have accumulated. The brain is a lens for the human consciousness. By the time the lens gets clear enough to focus your consciousness from all times into this dimension, you have forgotten how to hold it. That is what I'm going to do. I'm going to train you how to hold the lens and focus it again.